Welcome to We're Listening the Podcast, a community where all voices are heard. I'm your host, Rob Cook. Join me for a lighthearted show about the human experience with live conversations, discussions, and interviews of some of the newest to the most established 3P practitioners from all over the world. So no matter if you've known the three principles for years or you're new to Daily Insights, we hope each episode will inspire you to demonstrate a community where all voices are heard. Welcome to today's episode.
Welcome, 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 everyone, to a new episode. We are going across the water, and this episode actually is going to be quite interesting because we're virtually traveling somewhere that we've physically been before, and we physically had, let's just say, hostile times, so to speak. let's just say it was some military missions that, you know, ended differently in this place, but I'm going there virtually and I'm greeted with love from my brothers. So welcome to the show, Abdul Ben Bader. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. I'm doing great. I hope you're doing great. And thank you for having me here.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited you're here. Kind of how it goes, man, is I just throw everybody straight into the fire with the audience. They're a loving audience. You know what I mean? They love, and they helped me create this safe space to have these conversations. And so first, I really just like giving everybody the opportunity to kind of you speak about Abdul as you see him and how he shows up in the world, you know, and anything that you think is important for them to know before we kind of get into what we're talking about today.
Yeah, sure. I mean, Abdul right now works as a coach, and I work with entrepreneurs and business owners. And so I kind of had a previous life in professional sports, and I had a lot of question marks. I was very curious to understand how performance works, and the fact that I saw myself, literally witnessed myself, push through a lot of obstacles to get better in sports. And so today I've come to understand, thanks to a lot of my mentors, specific things about the mind, that I am super excited today to share with fellow professionals, entrepreneurs, and business owners. And that's been, as boring as that sounds, it's been occupying my time, my days. Yeah.
Oh man, what sport did you play?
I was a swimmer, actually.
Okay, what event?
Yeah. Breaststroke, you know, all three distances, 50, 100, 200 meters. And I actually lived in the States. I went to high school in the States.
Where?
In Florida.
Okay. Well, yeah, obviously so, somewhere close to water, right?
yeah. So yeah, that was 2004 is when I went to Florida until around 2008. And yeah, that was probably definitely one defining chapter in my life.
Yeah,
especially when I went there and I thought I did speak good English, but as soon as I got there, I recognized, I mean, outside of listening to Eminem and stuff, I didn't really speak any good English.
Oh man. So you went on to have a career in swimming.
Yeah.
And then how did you get to corporate world?
Oh, interesting. So yeah, I mean, I swam for the national teams from 98 till 2014. And in 2014, that was a few years after I graduated from college. And I played around, worked in a bank. And then I realized I just had to do something, you know, more adventurous. And I started a business.
Yeah.
And so when I started a business in 2014, became fairly quickly successful, actually. And then I got stuck, right? And I didn't recognize that I got stuck until fast forward, this is crazy, 2014 until 2020. Nothing happened, basically, in those 6 years. I was that stuck. And so in 2020, when COVID hit and everything shut down, is when I literally, by force, slowed down. I really slowed down. Yeah. And I was kind of searching for myself, even though I had a business. I just felt like there was something more for me to do. I got to the minute business was being managed by, you know, by the team and everything. And, you know, that sounds like the dream for a lot of people. But for me, it was like I wanted to do something with my own time, with my hands. And yeah, I came across coaching. I didn't know what coaching was. And when I kind of read the definition on Google, I was like, what? You could do that? That's that's crazy. I mean, I've always been of help for my teammates and my friends back in sports. But I did notice back then that advice did not work. There is something about psychology. It wasn't that simple. You can't just tell someone something and they would listen to you. But I mean, yeah, I had no idea, you know, what coaching is or anything. Yeah. So when I was like, oh, okay, there's an art and a science to this. This is so interesting. I saw that definition one day. Next week, I signed my first client because I was already in conversations every other week with just friends, entrepreneurs, and business owners. And so not to jump, you know, too fast into this, but so I'm looking for resources to learn about coaching and stuff. And this is when I signed up with EverCoach and I saw Michael Neal in one of the instructors on that program. I kid you not, Rob, I watched the first few minutes of his interview so many times and I would close the interview because I was so uncomfortable with someone being so relaxed and at ease around success, right? I was like, oh, what is this guy saying? And I just would close the interview and go to the rest of the instructors. And then there was one thing that he said specifically, if you allow me to share this, that kind of like caught me in, basically, which was when he said something like, most people believe that we can't do what we want and follow our inclinations and be successful. Most of us believe that in order to be successful, we have to put what we want and our inclinations on the side and follow some formula. And that was what I was doing from 2014 till 2020. I was looking for the formula. I was like, it wasn't like this back in sports. It was actually fairly simple back in sports. It was, I would attend practice, follow what the coach is saying and just compete. And there wasn't much to it really. But in business, I kept looking for that right way. I kept looking for the right way. And every book would say something different than the other book. And I just got confused. And I had no idea that, oh, there's this thing within you.
Yeah.
You can basically be self-guided as you grow your business. And I was bought. I was.
Yeah, you were in. No, I absolutely love that. I mean, at the level of competition that you were at, and knowing how your coach would prepare you for events and swim meets and things like that, does it seem easy to do once you kind of it clicked in?
Right.
Is it easier? Does it seem simpler?
So for me, if I was going to explain it in a more accurate way, it wasn't really simpler or easier. I was in tune with that which is within me. Like I didn't have much going on up in my head back then. If I described it even better. Right. Because if I really look at it, what I did in sports perfectly works with, you know, how you should be running a business. Right. We would try different strategies. We go to competition. It doesn't work. We go back on the board. We change it up. And there was no, you know, giving up or anything. There's that wasn't even in the vocabulary. Right. And in sports, like, the thing is to do it your way. That's actually already taken, you know, you learn the basics, and basically all athletes, you know, want to express themselves differently as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but somehow when I went to business, because I wasn't really conscious of any of this back when I was in sports, I didn't go the right way. And then I kept reading about all the biographies of the really successful people, and I would see the defining moments in their career. And I would be like, there's something there. There's something that is guiding them, because that cannot be found in a book.
Yeah.
Right. And I was in the back of my head kind of like looking for this. I was just looking. And most of what is the way it's spoken about today is, they talk about it as a, you know, subconscious. And I was like, you know, subconscious, I don't know. It seems like an open well. It doesn't seem like just my older, you know, programmed knowledge. There's something more to this. And so when I got to know Michael and I got to know the teachings of Sydney Banks, that was it. That was my answer.
Yeah.
Right there, I am connected to a bigger source of inspiration and wisdom and knowledge. And that makes perfect sense. It made perfect sense. So, Rob, so that's why for me, I feel like I came into this understanding not from the thought suffering perspective. I was looking for that mind part.
Got it. No, I like that. That makes a lot of sense. Like, really? The awareness is what I'm in search of. It's always been an awareness. What else can I see? Because once I see it, it's something I could do about it, you know? And again, it's the simplicity in being a protection agent or a force protection officer. It was all about seeing. If you couldn't see the threat, then there was nothing you could do about it. It was all about, you know, being less vulnerable. You know, and you're less vulnerable by removing all of the unnecessary stuff. Right. You know, like, does that gate on the other side that's not even manned by anyone need to be there? Because it just gives an access to, I mean, you're in a war. Like, does that really need to be there? So you think about it in life, I would be like, do these narratives that I hold on to really have to be here? Because they're really not helping me. They're exposing me to something that's making my life a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, I can.
And so now that I'm aware of it, it's like, I could see the wheels falling off of it, and I could do something with it, you know. So yeah, man, I really love the way you articulated that with sports, and it's so interesting because I've talked to there's quite a few people in this understanding that have played at a very high level. I call a coach. Denise Holland, she was the national team's coach, and she played national team-wise. There's Matt, who is a high jumper. He's like 6'4", 6'6", or something, too, you know. But Nikon, who was a taekwondo, and now you, like, what did you feel like? Like, I've asked all of them on their shows, what did you feel like being chosen, in a sense, to represent nationally your team at your sport?
I mean, for me, someone who grew up in Kuwait, came from Kuwait, competing at a high level was not really a thing back then. So it really felt like a personal movie for me. Can I really make it? Like, those are kind of the questions were in my head. So even though I became a national champion fairly quickly in my younger age, but I thought, can I go further? Is it possible for me to go further? And then, you know, yeah, I don't know anyone who made it to world level, but why not? And so when they took me to the States and I got to see all the, you know, the highest of the highest levels of athletics there. And so in terms of awareness, to you, perhaps awareness was kind of pointed outwards when you gave the metaphor of the gate. For me, it was kind of inwards, watching me breaking through all of these obstacles that I thought, you know, were not possible. So, you know, I'm taken out of Kuwait, thrown at the States, 2004. Yeah, go attend the high school and you know, get your way around. I'm like, really?
Were you? Was it a sponsor family? Did you live?
I was sponsored by the national team. And they had this professional program where they would send athletes to train in the States. So it was me, a couple of other Kuwaiti athletes, other Kuwaiti swimmers specifically. And so there was a specific coach that they had an agreement with.
Okay. Because I had a friend who played in the NBA, and he's from Kenya. And same thing is he was a 6'9", 6'8" freshman in high school. Yeah. And they were like, go to the States. So he came.
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. He came. He had a family that he stayed with who was there when he got drafted, actually. And, you know, he takes care of them like he takes care of his family back in Kenya. So so that's pretty interesting.
Right. So, yeah, definitely. Same thing. So for smaller countries, maybe they recognize it's not really, they're not going to be able to invest in improve the program fast enough. So just go to the States.
Gotcha.
I wasn't with a family. It was three other Kuwaiti swimmers. and the legal guardian, which was the coach. We lived in a house, and of course that bonded us together, and we had our teammates, our friends who, you know, the team itself was similarly familiar, like the same, a lot of foreign professional athletes from Cuba, from Brazil, us from Kuwait, from France.
To one high school.
To one different high school, but we trained at a club that is, it's not a high school club.
Oh, okay, got it.
Private club.
They had the best of the best is what I'm hearing. Like
in 2007, I won the state champions. Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
So that was another moment when I was like, what's the limit for this, for potential, for human potential? Does it stop? And I would say this is my earliest memory of kind of a coaching kind of thinking in my head. Which I used to think of anyone who would say, you know, I can't, or it's not possible. I'm not like this. You don't get it. I'm like, man, you should see the things I've been through. And I didn't think I could get there.
Yeah. Right?
And so in at the end of my time at the States, that was kind of the highest of my career. I went to the World Championships in Brazil and I finished sixth. So I was in the top eight in the World Champions. Yeah, it's amazing. It's been
that is unbelievable. Yeah. That cat said, I was in the top eight of the world.
Yeah.
Everybody's swimming.
Yeah.
At this level. Yeah. What did they, like, dude, that's so, that gives me chills, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Like, because we, here in the States, I play football and basketball. And so recently, LeBron just broke the scoring record. LeBron James now has scored the most points of any player in NBA history.
Wow.
Period. Like there is now, so he is number one at scoring the most points in history. And I started thinking about that. Like, wait a minute. Of all everybody, like, just, you know what I mean? It just was hard to count. It was like, yeah, everybody. It's like he's still playing now.
Yeah,
it's like he's still playing, and he's so far ahead of all the. It's just unbelief, and so my mind is just wrapped around that. Like, man, there is something that you've mastered to the point where you're identified within the top eight of the world at it. Right. That's a level of mastery like I've never seen before, in a sense.
Yeah, and it's really fun. And I think that's, I missed that when I got into business, and I felt kind of, it was, I don't know the English word for it, but it was like I was lonely in a sense. Like I started all over again. I'm starting from scratch, you know? Who am I now in this place? And what do I do after all of these dedicated years of mastery and just knowing that you're so good at something, right? And this is when, again, when I found coaching, I was like, at least I could master this. And this is, and I had some interest in psychology before I majored in college, but I never did because of two silly thoughts. The first was I didn't think I could make much money with it. The second was I could not sit in here people's suffering. And so when I saw that coaching was about creating something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I'm in. And only then, Rob, is when I recognized I actually have a lot of experience and skills to back me up, whether in corporate business or as a coach, that I got from sports, which is basically competing at the highest levels. Like I know a lot about performance. I know a lot about what breaks your performance and how does your mind get in the way, right? I just never knew it articulated so nicely. Like,
so nicely, I learned exactly. It
from Sid. Like it was bits here and there. I would witness when I am more planning and preparing and strategizing for a race, I would not do so good. And when I'm more relaxed, I would break my records and my best times. And I always had an eye on this. I'm like, how does it work? Why? How come? Right? Why is it happening this way? And so now it makes, like, I've, you know, all the puzzles
come together. Pieces are, so cool. Together. So I got two quick questions because I could talk about this all day, man. So first question is, did it translate into other parts of your life? So when you were at the height of swimming, or, you know, the height of your career, were your relationships thriving? Were other parts of you thriving as well? Or was it just in that one spot?
So it's not fair for me to say, yeah, it was good everywhere, but okay. For the most part, yes.
Okay.
Like I had no problem with, you know, college education, getting work, relationships. I did have a lot of, I would say, on the internal part, like I didn't have much faith in myself, even though I've done all of this, these accomplishments. Yeah. Once I was done with swimming and I got out into when I worked at the bank and everything, I'm like, what does it mean that I was an athlete? What do I have to bring to the table that I was an athlete? Right. So, and I'm an introvert and I'm this and I'm that. And I had so much belief around personality traits and I just boxed myself. And that was really limiting for me.
Yeah. I've never known an introvert to compete on a world level, I guess. So, but hey, it must, like, I'm extroverted as they come and I've been nowhere near the world level. So I must be introvert, must be the key then. My other question, man, is seeing how this is all shaped up, like, what is it that, because I know as an athlete, there's a fire to compete, there's a fire to perform. Like it you're lit up when it's time to do what you've been practicing for in this. What lights you up today? How does it work today? Like what has Abdul, like, getting in competition mode for life, like right. He was as a swimmer?
Yeah, so definitely what lights me up today is that moment when my clients recognize that running and growing a business doesn't have to suck so much. It really doesn't have to be that complicated. It doesn't have to be so inefficient. They don't have to push so hard. This manufactured motivation and willpower where they start to get distant from their business, the successful business that they were passionate about. 2 or 3 years in, they want to take a step back. So like one of my clients came to me because she decided 2023 is not going to be a year that she works on the business. She wanted to work on her own life. But when we saw, you know, and we spoke about mind and really what gets the friction going, a month in, she was like, yeah, I'm going to go back into the business now. There's no reason for me to avoid it anymore. And just seeing that you don't really need to learn more skills. You don't really need to change. You don't need to develop. You don't need to become someone else for you to create a successful business. A few valuable understandings removes the inefficiencies out, and the experience is just, it's nice.
That's it, man. You said that. you said that. That's it. Look, Abdul, man, I appreciate you, bro, stopping by the show. And really just for all you do, you know what I mean, in the community, how you're taking your experience and allowing others to see a better way of living, whether in business, in life, or any of that. So just salute you on that, man. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You, Thank you
I so do got to get back to Kuwait and have a good experience. I got to have a your kind of experience. Yeah, I'm going to come straight to your house. I don't want to go to the other
you're
parts.
You're more than welcome, Rob. Yeah, you're more than welcome, definitely.
But look, man, what I really would love for you to do for me is kind of tell people where they can find you. And then just share your heart. You've shared a lot with us, and I truly appreciate that. But just share your heart on anything you would like to leave us thinking about, whether in performance, whether in life, period.
Yeah, definitely. So people can find me on my website, abdulbinbader.com, or my Instagram as well. I use Instagram a lot, abdulbinbader, at abdulbinbader. And so what I would like to share is actually what seems to be my why, my mission, my why, as Simon Sinek talks about it, which is really, you know, we all have this potential inside of us. But this potential is not really preformed. It's really formless. And it's all about expressing this potential, right? And the bigger question is not what I used to think. What's the limits of my potential? Because I don't think there's a limit for potential. But the good question is what gets in the way, right? And I believe that everyone can live a life where they can express this potential and they can really express themselves creatively, show us the beauty that they have inside of them. And all they have to kind of figure out is basically, you know, it doesn't have to be that complicated. And the mind could get it complicated sometimes, but it doesn't have to be that way. And so what I like to say is we could all live in a world of possibilities rather than a world of limitations, right? Why live in a world of limitations when we can live in a world of possibilities?
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about the podcast, please go to 3pgc.org. If you're looking for more information about how to become a practitioner, or you want to be featured on the show as a new, fresh voice in the principles, send us an email at info@3pgc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Knowing there is no end or limitation, nor are there boundaries to the human mind, have the day you deserve.